Shiva, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on
my
your show.
Pleasure. The pleasure is really all mine. Now, what forms of mental health services are currently accessible to people living in remote and rural areas, and how effective are they?
At the moment, the best practice for industries who are having their workers in remote areas, or even people are living in rural areas, is using technologies like mobile phones, video conferencing. And a study shows that they are not really effective because we are losing that the essential cues, such as being having a eye-to-eye contact with the psychologist, or feeling that you're actually present in that psychological session and feeling that someone is really actually understand you. So there are all the problems that stopping people from continuing the treatment. That's why the premature treatment termination is very high using technologies such as phone or video conferencing.
Right, of course. So how exactly could VR technology be utilized to conduct therapy sessions?
Definitely. I have always been a great advocate of virtual reality, and the reason is VR is really powerful in a sense that it can create or recreate the situations or events which are either very hard or impossible to be created in real life. So imagine there is a individual, a worker, mine worker, construction worker, any industry that are in remote locations, far from everything. They at least have to take 400 kilometers or 500 kilometer return to see a psychologist. That will be very, very difficult maintain that treatment. So what we are considering, that it will be great if people, the psychologist and the client, can meet in virtual space and have a 1 hour counseling session and discuss the problem, the issue, and further down the track, the psychologist can decide whether it has to be continued to be in a face-to-face manner or in VR or whatever the treatment is necessary.
Of course. So in your research, because obviously you've done quite a bit of research around this topic in particular, how did VR therapy sessions compare to Skype-based sessions?
So we compared the Skype session with VR in different accounts. First of all, we identified that people will engage to the therapy session if they feel that they are present, like being there with the psychology, and when they are feeling the psychology is there with them and participating in the whole session, and also when they feel the experience is real. So when we compare the Skype and VR based on these accounts, VR outperforms Skype on almost everything. So people find that they are more present in VR than in Skype. They felt the psychologist was more involved in VR than in Skype. And also, interestingly, people recorded that VR was as easy to use as Skype. So they didn't find the technology. Look, this is the new technology. There are so many people out there that they haven't even tried it yet. But they, and most of our participants, it was their first time going through VR. And they were just saying, this was very easy. As if I was just, putting my glasses on and start having conversation.
Right, of course. And so, why exactly are people in remote and rural areas in need of such services?
As I mentioned, there are around at least 7 million of Australians, for example, in Australia itself, they live in rural areas. And we know the ideal situation is to have, a perfect situation is to use to have a face-to-face session, right? But if you are located in a remote location, which will take you hours to get to the psychology and come back, to see a psychologist and come back, That wouldn't be sustainable. At some point, people will stop doing that. So for those people who are in remote location, face-to-face option is not really optimal anymore. And we see that Skype or phone call or like video conference is not really working well because people, they don't get really engaged with the session. So there is a gap in here. So the face-to-face is not the best solution anymore. Skype and other technologies are not working. So how we can fill up the gap? And we believe that virtual reality might be the future, but we are not claiming anything at this point because we are early in the research. At this stage, we know that VR is doing so much better than Skype, that's for sure, but we don't know how close it is to the face-to-face therapy session. So that brings us to our next phase of the project, which hopefully starts this year. And we are going to investigate clients' physiological responses, like heart rate, skin conductance. We're going to measure all these like body reactions in VR, and we're going to compare it with face-to-face and see to what extent experience in VR is close to face-to-face.
Of course. And you know, and that actually connects to my final question really, really well. So in that case, you know, because as you mentioned, it is still currently being researched and still being kind of tested, I guess. So in that case, what steps need to be taken and researched before we see VR therapy sessions become more widely used and accepted?
Yeah. So at this pilot study, we included participants who weren't actually suffering from any sort of mental health problems. So because we have to be safe, we didn't want to risk anyone's, you know, life or anything. So we conducted with normal people, and the people who weren't really suffering from any sort of issues, and then we tested their behavioral responses in VR versus Skype. In the next phase, we are going to, as I mentioned, like measure the physiological responses. And after we pass that stage, the third stage will be involving the people who need that help and support and see how they are reacting and responding in this situation. And what I have to mention here is just VR, it's not going to replace face-to-face or any other treatment options. VR is going to complement the process. It's just going to make it more accessible, affordable, and easier to access. So, like with the current technological advances, like Oculus Go, the VR headset that we use in this experiment. So, what we are trying to do here, we are just trying to find an effective and efficient solution. So we don't want to go for something very expensive, which is not accessible, like people can't afford it. So this VR headset at the moment, they cost only about $200 Australian. And the application we use is free, VTime. Everyone can access it just freely. So imagine like all you are paying is $200 to have the headset and then just having the session anytime as long as your psychologist is available. So it makes it really affordable and accessible.
Well, that's
as I mentioned,
accessibility.
Yeah, this is only going to be complementing the existing solution and just make it everyone can benefit from the technology.
Yeah. Of course, because you know that's such an important point you made with like, you know, it's not going to completely replace face to face, because face to face is absolutely important, but it is going to complement it, because in the end it is all about accessibility. I made a point earlier on, and like at the start of the interview, that everybody should go to therapy at least once, and for it to become more accessible using the technologies that we have is so, so important. And the research that you're doing, Shiva, is incredibly important and fantastic. And I thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.